Welcome back to the Gospel Fantasy Show, and we have a treat for you guys today. We are going to give you an overview of what to expect out of your 2025 rookies, and today we have a special guest. Some of you guys will remember, some of you guys that are new to the game may not have had the opportunity yet, but as always, we have my guy, the Fantasy Nostradamus, Young Vanda. I'll let the people.
Hey, what's going on out there?
And for some of you guys, you may remember a certain rookie aficionado by the name of Bro Joe. Holla at the people, Bro Joe.
Look at that. Y'all done got bougie, got rebranded and everything, man. What's going on, people?
Yo, so you already know what it's about to be. We're going to make sure that you know everything that's going on with your rookies. And yeah, it's going to be a great show. Remember, you can catch us on YouTube at the Gospel STP. Again, that's the Gospel STP. We're going to hop right into it. We're going to talk about your rookie QBs, and we're going to talk about your wide receivers, a few of the consensus top-notch guys, if you will. And then we'll kind of go from there. Next week, we will hop on to the RB and tight end train. And before you know it, it will be time to draft your 2025 rookies. We're going to make sure you are prepared. With that being said, we're going to hop right on into it. Quarterbacks. I am going to throw out the quarterbacks that we are about 99.9% sure, if not 100% sure, will get drafted and drafted early. And then we'll kind of go into the weeds just a little bit. But Cam Ward, right now, it feels as if there's no way Tennessee doesn't pick him. But how do we actually feel about him as a fantasy candidate going forward? Is this a guy that if you need a quarterback, you should be spending that capital on as far as fantasy drafts are concerned? Is it one of those situations where it's a Jaden Daniels, Caleb Williams sort of scenario where the guy that's supposed to be the guy might end up not being the guy? How are we feeling about this? Bro Joe, why don't you start us out, my guy?
You see, I kind of like the shade draft, but to be more to the answer, I think Cam Ward, it all depends on location. I think what the trends really reflect us, you know, with Cam, with Stroud, and not recently, not too long ago, the other younger quarterback. It all depends on the general manager and head coach. I really think it's the system that kind of can pull it all together to really get the most out of this group. It's not the general, you know, generational talent type of group. This isn't the, you know, bona fide, this is the Hall of Fame type guy. But Cam Ward is exceptional, and I think he has an exceptional ceiling. I think he goes to the right location. Is that Tennessee who has, some things and everything else? I'm more so looking toward the other pick, but I think he's a really good prospect. I think, honestly, he goes to the right situation. I wouldn't be surprised if he does a Cam Stroud, honestly, or Jaden Daniels, like, to your point. But that factor is really location more so than anything. He does. I feel like there's some work to be done, but not much. I think he's the most ready quarterback out the group.
You feel about the same way, Vander, or do you kind of feel like this was a last minute change of mind as far as which quarterback is going to be able to produce the most? And then also, as far as fantasy, the fantasy portion of it is concerned, is he going to be worth drafting him where you're going to have to draft him in fantasy drafts, or should you go a different direction?
No, I think it's going to be worth it. I mean, especially in a dynasty. Well, you know, we're talking about a dynasty. Of course, it's going to be worth it, right? On a redraft, I think two quarterback leaves. This is a quarterback, too, that has the – who can run, right? I'm not saying he's going to be Lamar Jackson, but he's going to run more than C.J. Stroud, I'll tell you that. So you're probably going to get a good bit of that points off those legs as well. Callahan, they finally got their guy, right? He adopted Levis, and now he's be able. And that's the one thing about you see a lot of times with these new coaches, they adopt guys. And this is the first time they be able to choose their guy. So we've seen this offense be successful in Cincinnati, and maybe over here in Tennessee, this guy can be the one. I mean, he has a live arm. That's nothing, you know, to really even talk about. Kind of like what Joe said. I mean, if these guys were drafted last year, then they'll probably be ranked 4, 5. But they're 1, 2, whatever in this year's draft. So But yeah, I'm drafting him. I think he's a QB2. And with confidence, you know what I mean? For sure.
Shedeur Sanders, probably the quarterback that is most notable, if you will. Maybe not for all the right reasons, but this is a guy who has shown on every level where he was pretty much doubted on every level that he can get the job done when asked with the weapons that he's had to get the job done with. So do we feel like Sanders, and the caveat I'm going to put out there to this based on the current scuttlebutt, if you will, he can go as high as Cleveland. He can go as low as the Raiders.
He can go lower than that.
You think he can go lower than that? Okay.
Yeah, absolutely.
So there's some potential fallout as far as drafting Sanders is concerned. But the thing about it is, in his father's infinite wisdom, he ensured that he waited for a draft that wasn't going to have very many quarterbacks to pick from. So regardless of how you slice it, like it or not, might be the best you got. Because the only quarterback that you're going to have a shot at after Ward, obviously, is going to be the ones that we can kind of see a future in already. Sanders, Dart, maybe Milroe, Ewers. After that, you have guys that could come out of the woodworks, but they're very low expectations. So do we think that he ends up getting drafted a little bit higher than he normally would have had this been, like, let's say last year or years past, where there were several quarterbacks that people were salivating over? So I guess this is a two-part. How do you feel about Sanders as far as his fantasy acumen going forward? But then also, give me how much that changes based on the landing spot. If he lands in Cleveland, if he lands with the Giants, the Raiders, whatever other team that you kind of had in your mind's eye, if he falls, what's the best bet for this guy? What's the most that we can expect? Ceiling and floor type of situation. Why don't you start us out? Just go around, Ben.
What is the thing with Shedeur? He can go high as 2. He can go low as 21 to the Steelers. You know what I'm saying? And not because of skill or anything like that, but a lot of these teams are already invested in quarterbacks. We've seen Seattle when give Sam a little money, even though it's, you know, not longevity money. It's enough to not draft a quarterback in this round. Jets went and took Fields. Or the Raiders went and took Geno Smith. So I think he'd be anywhere from 2 to 21. And it's really all about the landing spot, because if he does land somewhere like the Giants, then this could be a redshirt season, right? If he goes to Cleveland, this is where quarterbacks go to die, right? So I think the Steelers would be an ideal spot. If he could fall that far, I think football, he might not like it money-wise and, you know, feel like he's supposed to be drafted higher. But as far as a real football move, I think the Steelers organization would be ideal for him, because they have an organization that's going to pretty much get behind him, a black coach. He has some weapons that's already ready to go. Now, I don't like the OC. Arthur Smith is horrible, right? But Shedeur have shown that he can play. This, I think this dude had 4 offensive OCs all through college, right?
Yeah.
So I think he went through 2 at Jackson State. He probably went through 2 at Colorado. So he's shown that he can adapt to any pro system. But again, it's all about landing spot as far as your fantasy goes, or where you want to pick this guy. Because in Dynasty League, of course, you'll like him but in a redraft, he can go undrafted, especially in a 1-quarterback league, 2-quarterback league. You probably pick him up, you know, late, but depends on the landing spot. But again, anywhere from 2 to 21. We can see Sanders' name.
Where do you think it's likely, though, as far as draft spot?
I mean, if I was a betting man, I would start looking more at the Saints. I think they're at 9. I'm starting at 9 because, I mean, of course, I think the Colorado showcase, I think that really bumped Travis. I think now the Cleveland Browns and the Giants are like, I think that really solidified Travis Hunter. And also Abdul Carter, who's probably the best player in this draft outside of Travis Hunter.
I'm hoping he falls to 4. I
highly doubt it at this point. I think the Saints at number 9 will be the first spot that you will start to see Sanders' name call. And if they skip, because they got Carr. And again, this is not Kellen Moore's guy. We talk about the investment. But they decide, you know what, we cool with Carr for right now and maybe future. He's going to drop all the way to 21 unless somebody trades up in front of them. But if he don't get picked at 9, the next team would be the Steelers at 21.
Bro, Joe, you feel the same way, or do you see things a little bit different?
No, me and Linda really align with Shador. I think, honestly, to kind of add to his sentiment, like, I think I love the leadership qualities of a Shador. Like, this, like, he's the most genuine, authentic guy. Like, not the flash, like, people look at the flashy stuff, but everything you hear about this kid's character and everything off the field is tremendous. So I think he's a great asset in that sense. I still like the Giants, not as high as that, but Giants got some picks now to towards the back end of the draft. They can talk. I don't think they're going to talk to the Eagles at 32, but they can come back into, like you said, the 20s or even how far he might fall. And that's a good landing spot. I think he's more like a Penix in a sense that I don't think he's right now ready, but if you told me week 6 through 8 or some point that he had to come in and he's going to take over the reins of a whole offense, I can see that scenario. But I love the New Orleans Saints part because if you had to sit behind a car, same thing, same few games. But I think even in Kellen Moore offense, he can kind of replicate closely more what he did. Because I love what Randy said. He can closely replicate what he did in Colorado with the Saints.
Another guy, Jackson Dart. Now, depending on what happens with Sanders, it's going to have a lot to do with the fringe guys, if you will, your Darts of the world, the Melrose of the world, yours, even as low as a McCord and a Howard. My question is, and I'm setting this up in a specific way, if Sanders goes prior to Pittsburgh, let's say Sanders does go at 9 to the Saints, does Pittsburgh allow Jackson Dart to get past them? Does anyone else go above Pittsburgh, knowing that they won't let him get past him to get them themselves? Do we think that Dart would actually make it to Pittsburgh, or is Pittsburgh going to be more so looking at a Jalen Milrow type of a scenario as far as the first available quarterback where they're going to be picking, and they have to make kind of that choice at 21 with the Milrows, the Ewers, McCords, and Howards of the world, whichever one they kind of feel the best about? But how are we looking at Jackson Dart and Milrow as far as likely spots, also as far as what we're looking at for fantasy purposes? Are these guys that, you know, if you're down in your quarterback spot and it's, let's say it's super flex, let's say it's 2QB, so you got to throw somebody out there and you need an extra guy, are they even going to be worth it? Like, what's the level of comfortability that you have? Let's start with the Jackson Dart and Jalen Milrow, their prognosis, and then kind of go from there. Bro Joe, why don't you go ahead and start us up?
Yeah, I got to go with my guy first. I love Jackson Dart. I think he's a quite impressive quarterback. I have him second after Cam Ward. But I mean, it's not that it's a close between him and Shador, in my personal opinion, but I just love the upside with Dart. I think he's going to go relatively early. I think he gets his name called in the first round, if not in the 20s, somewhere in the first round in general, just because the upside he offers you. He has a tremendous arm. Not Cam Ward, but I think he's really close to the live arm that you see. He just has those tangibles and that winning mindset. He has a good stature. He reminds me like a Justin Herbert. I know he's like 6'2" compared to Herbert being more taller, but he's a bigger guy. You know, and he did a tremendous job at Ole Miss considering the competition. So I think he's going to get called. I would love a scenario where he falls to a Cleveland, like a situation where Cleveland might trade back or trade into the first round again to kind of get a guy like that. I think that's the perfect guy to be the this is Stefanski that's over there in Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the head coach. I think that's a phenomenal situation to kind of end up in, having a fair shot to be the guy. But I don't think he gets past Pittsburgh either if Shador goes first. Maybe he'll go earlier than him. I think that's a really good upside. And then with Jalen Milrow, I think not great showings at the Senior Bowl, not good showings at the Combine. But Vander kind of helped me turn my eye to this guy. He's been doing exceptionally well at these private workouts. He's doing really well. He's garnered a first round invite, like Vander's telling me, kind of offset or whatever. So it's there. I think it's legitimacy to that because, you know, we've seen this happen with these critiques and things like that early on. It's only just to drive down the value for another team. We never know who's their guy. No one knew about Will Levis until Will Levis went early to Tennessee. You know, I think the same thing when we saw with Miro or whatever his destination. I think he, even though I might not like him, his throwing mechanics or whatever, again, another leader, another good tangible, a good off-the-field guy. And he has a good work ethic. So I think, though we might not see it tangible-wise, we know what he possesses as far as the arm and the speed to where I think he has viability as a fantasy option, depending on how early and the team.
Young Vander, do you feel the same way as far as Dart and Murrow are concerned? Or what are your thoughts as far as landing spots and the potential of being a fantasy start versus just being another guy that's kind of clogging up your bench?
Well, I think Jackson Dart would probably be closer to the starter, a starter in fantasy than Miro. And like me and Joe, we went back over a little bit on Miro. And trust me, bro, I'm not a fan of Miro just like you. You know what I'm saying? I don't think he's ready. Again, you know, you got these evaluators. They go off of stature and size. And a guy like Jalen Hurts winning the Super Bowl didn't make it no easier. So, of course, they like guys like Miro. I didn't think he did well at Alabama. I thought he should have came back to school. I thought he can use another year of football in college. But here we are. I mean, quarterback is one of those positions that people overdraft. He's definitely not a first-round talent. I don't think he's a second-round talent. But I don't see him getting out of the second two rounds because this is what these guys do year in, year out. They'll find a reason to draft a guy way earlier than he should be. That being said, I think 2 and 3 is very connected. Shadoo and Dart, very connected. Because again, like you said, if the Saints take Shadoo, then he's not passing the Steelers. You can forget about it. Now, if somebody want to leapfrog them, I don't know. I think the guys you really want to watch are the teams for like a Miro would be Cleveland and the Giants. Being that they draft so early in the first round, those would be the guys that are maybe trade back into the late first round and grab the quarterback because they don't have a quarterback, right? Those are quarterback needy teams, but they pass, got another position, and now they're trying to get back in the first round, maybe late, to grab a guy like Miro, who I think is going to go overdrafted. I don't see it. Unless y'all going to push him for 4 quarters or something, then that'd probably be cool, right? But out there in that field, inconsistent, nah. He's definitely one of those Alabama quarterbacks of the past that you don't see translate well in the NFL, right? Yeah, we seen Hurts, but Hurts went to Oklahoma and got some from the quarterback gurus, right? Yeah, we seen Tua was probably the best I've seen come out of Alabama, but the McElroys and all these other guys that had a lot of success in college never made it, and I think Miro kind of walks that line as far as the Alabama quarterbacks go. But yeah, he's not passing 21. Dart, 21 is his floor. But his ceiling, it could be 9.
Is Melrose's floor 21 if someone came up and got Dart before 21? So in other words, are the Steelers by hook or by crook taking best quarterback on board?
Absolutely. I think they're taking best quarterback on board if it's these two. If these two are already gone, which is still possible, right? I don't think they'll take Miro at 21. If they do that, somebody got to get fired. If they take Miro at 21, somebody got to go.
I think a genuine interest with Miro in Pittsburgh that's been sputtering around, I think that's genuine. Not to say he places himself in the first round because of it, but if they were to fall off a quarterback in the first round, I definitely think Miro's in play because of the rumblings and everything. I think it's a lot of interest mutually both of it. That's scenario.
And one thing I do like about Dart, hey, real quick, one thing I do like about Dart, white boy got some wheels too now. He'll run too. So as far as fantasy implications, he could be a sneaky dual quarterback as well. So that's something to look forward to.
Few other quarterbacks to consider more than likely are going to be backups depending on, you know, situations that may flush out due to injury or things of that nature. But how are we feeling about the Quinn Ewers, Kyle McCords, Will Howards of the world? Do we feel like they're the type of guys that can come in, sit back and learn for a year or two and end up taking over and being a guy that you saw coming out of nowhere? Or are these just guys that will be drafted because they're the next quarterback up and you probably shouldn't expect very much out of them at all in their entire NFL career? Like, where are we? What's the, I would say, the ceiling and the floor again when looking at these guys? And I'm kind of bundling them together because as far as talent is concerned and as far as outlook for fantasy specifically, I kind of feel they're in a similar boat. You can tell me if I'm wrong. Vander, why don't you start us out? You can talk about all three. Which ones out of the three you think will be fantasy relevant, if any? Where's our air at once we get out of those other quarterbacks that we know will be going?
No, I agree with you. I think they all kind of bundled, but I would say one thing. I think Ewers is kind of a guy to watch as well. He had some pretty good workouts. I think he went and worked out for the Saints as well. So again, teams like the Saints who passed on the quarterback in that first round, this would be a guy that I in the second round. I think Howard was just a product of playing with the best talent in the world, right? I think he's a clipboard holder. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, he had a successful college career, but, you know, so Gabriel, all those guys, I think they're all going to be clipboard holders. I don't see any of these guys being starters in this league. But there's one guy you didn't mention who's going to probably jump up some boards that people are not talking about is the guy Tyler Shaw or Shu.
Louisville?
Yeah. Prototypical quarterback. Come from a
6'5", 219. And that's 6'5", 6'6", is kind
of
where you...
He's one of the ones that you want to watch. I think he has more of a... I think he has more than the guys like the Will Howards and the Gabriels, the guys that has more success in college. I think he's more of the better pick when it comes to drafting a quarterback. So he'll be a guy as well I'll be watching maybe second round, third round, maybe not even third round. This dude Tyler, man, you want to keep your eye on him. I think he can be a sneaky little guy too and land in one of these spots, maybe like a Cleveland, maybe like the New York Giants that passed in the first round. So keep your eye on him as well. I honestly got him probably like fifth, actually.
Would that depend on, like say for instance, if he went to a team that has a solidified quarterback, would you fall back? Or would you think that if the team drafted him, that's their way of saying we're going to develop this guy for a year or two and then get rid of whoever it may happen to be in front of him?
Oh, I mean, if you get a team like the Raiders, the Jets, or, you know, Seattle, one of these teams that have a quarterback, but they may not be the quarterback 2 years from now, then yeah. You know, those are guys to be watching because a lot of these guys' deals are really glorified one-year deals. Like Sam Darnold.
Sam Darnold is a one-year deal. Yeah.
Glorified one-year deal. Fields, pretty much a one-year. These are pretty much tryout deals. So if those type of teams draft this kind of guy, then you definitely, in a dynasty league, you want to grab them and, you know, throw them on your taxi squad or something. He could probably pay dividends for you in the future. For sure, but he's a guy I'm definitely going to be watching and see where he lands.
Bro Joe, what are your thoughts as far as the second-class quarterbacks, if we will?
I like the shout-out of Van. I think that was a good one with Tyler. I like Will Howard. I think Will Howard's in a unique predicament where what he was able to do at Ohio State last year is going to be something a lot of teams look at, you know, like that offense and what he was able to do on the field was tremendous. I mean, we were expecting that, you know, from the previous.
It was the wide receivers. Every Ohio State game, it was the wide receivers.
But how he orchestrated, how it looked. Perception is one. I just think, you know, even though Chip Kelly offense doesn't have a face, like it's not like a Shanahan or something like that, I do think he's going to get a fair opportunity to be a fourth-round, fifth-round quarterback, not to where we expect him to start. But if he were to go to, like, you know, what Vander's pointing out with Seattle or something, like, even if a situation like Cleveland, Kirk Cousins is out there. Kirk Cousins is going to play a real big part of Destination 2, as where we know Atlanta's going to look to move him on draft day, if not before. I think Howard's playing a slot in that situation where he might get a few starts, you know, early on in his career out of injury. The fact, you know, that you're going to score with subpar quarterback play to begin with. And like Vander's mentioned, the situations where most of these people on one-year deals, the Fields and Darnold, and even the health of Fields, if they take a quarterback late, you got to be interested in something the Jets look at as far as quarterback. So I think that was a good shout by Vander as well, too.
And lastly, as far as quarterbacks are concerned, are there any other guys that are on your radar that may be free agent pickups in Dynasty, third, fourth round picks, depending on how many rounds you have in your rookie drafts? Are there any other guys that you would want to take a flyer on?
It'd be Tyler for me. He's the only guy I'm really watching, especially from what I'm picking in my Dynasty league. You know, of course, the Cam Wars, the Sanders, and Darts, they're going to go early. So a guy like Tyler would be a guy I'll be looking for late, especially if you land a good landing spot like Joe talked about, like the Jets. So one of these teams that quarterback can very easily get injured and he could be thrown in the fire early. So he's my guy. He's been my sleeper, and he's the guy I'm looking at.
I would say for me, I'll probably think of Riley Leonard of Notre Dame. I think whatever system he's gonna go is probably fifth or sixth round, and it's just somebody like you said, just a stash. Just a, if you have like a taxi, you know, in Dynasty how we have it set up, you might want to just put him on there. You just never know, because I think he's gonna go to. He's a good project. That offense in Notre Dame was run heavy. We didn't get to see him throw a ton, and in those pressure situations, you're going against Ohio State. You're going against these impactful teams, and you haven't thrown the ball all year. I wasn't expecting to see, like, you know, anything glaring, but he does have a lot of assets, like just like DTR for Cleveland, where it's like, or Joe Milton, where it's like his skill set is going to put him on a team where we're going to see, you know, bits and pieces of him, and he's going to have a chance to develop. But I think if I had to take a dart just to taxi somebody, it would be probably Riley Leonard. I think he's going to go to a team to where they're going to showcase his skill set. What it looks like, you don't know. Because, again, he can probably go fifth, sixth round, probably undrafted, to be honest with you.
You mean as far as in the real draft or as far as in Dynasty, he may be a free agent?
In real draft and in Dynasty, you know, it's only three rounds in Dynasty. So I don't – we're not looking at some – you know, somebody like a Riley Leonard, I'm not looking at him to even be considered a starter. But what I do expect, I said, just like a DTR or just like a Joe Milton to have – to possibly have the opportunity. And I just think, like I said, like where he's still, like he's like 6'4", 220, but he's a dual threat quarterback. But we haven't seen him throw it consistently because that wasn't Notre Dame's offense. We've seen a situation where Brock Purdy was someone in Purdue that we've seen actually do a ton, but in the right system, we've seen him get the opportunity. Not saying he is Brock Purdy, but just saying the possibility, if we want to put somebody in the taxi position for a couple months, I'll probably do Leonard.
Let's move on over to wide receiver. We'll throw out a few names and you give us your breakdown as far as if he's overhyped, if he's just right, if this is a guy that you have your eye on, or if you're pretty sure he's going to fail and you're going to allow your fantasy mates to draft him way higher than he should while you draft up the next guy. For instance, Brojo, you pointed out last year, it's yet to be determined. I'll put that out there. But in your mind's eye, you had Brian Thomas Jr. higher than Marvin Harrison, higher than Neighbors. Neighbors started out prior to his injury that he suffered being the guy that would have, could have, and should have ended up with the highest stats. Brian Thomas ended up being a number one wide receiver in his rookie year. And that's probably going to continue based on the fact that they don't have a number one wide receiver outside of him in Jacksonville, so we don't foresee anyone taking over his spot. So as far as this year's draft is concerned, I'll throw out the first three guys that are currently consensus top three to be drafted. Let us know how you feel about them. We have T-Mac out of Arizona, and I'm probably going to mess this up. Tetaroa McMillan, 6'4", 219. You have Luther Burden III, Mizzou, 6'5", 205. And Matthew Golden out of Texas, 5'11", 191. What are your thoughts currently on some of the upper echelon, if you will, of wide receiver that are to be drafted? Or do you not even consider these guys to be in your upper echelon? How are we mapping this out?
Yeah, so with the wide receiver position, like I'm evaluating so far, like all of these are location based. There isn't like a clear cut three like how we had last year. We kind of already knew neighbors, Brian Thomas, you know, Marvin Harrison. We already had that echelon, and then it was the people that came under it. It's just Travis, and then it's just like a scheme fit. So it's like with this, is it's even harder with a dart throw to kind of assimilate so early before the draft, but we can definitely have a great conversation because a lot of people, you know, things going to 13 a lot. We've seen a lot of three wide receivers since. We've seen a lot of Jaden Reed-esque, you know, Josh Downs type of wide receivers, Zay Flowers type. It's a lot for conversation. So starting off with T-Mac, I'm not a fan. The big, tall receiver thing is not as, you know, threatening as it was when it was Megatron doing. You know what I mean? Like, it was like Megatron, and then they looked the part in college, they get to the next level, and then it's just like no physicality. It don't even matter that they these behemoths. So him doing all these little tricks and all that stuff in the next level, he'll be on the injury report. And no matter if it's old or not, it really kind of took me off him too that he didn't like to do any studying. He did all studying with the wide receiver group. I don't care if it's old or new. I think that really played the part of evaluation because it's not like you're looking at Christian Watson that was 6'4", 6'5", running a 4.3. You're running, talking about a sub 4.5 guy. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that because we've seen, you know, all that matters is what you can do at the 10, but I'm really not on him as high. It could be one or two. You can get a Drake London out of him, a Mike Evans, as me and Vander talked about a while ago, or you can just get, you know, what was that? The Canadian mega
Treadwell.
Yeah, we get a Treadwell.
Claypool.
You know, so I'm really not on him. Matthew Golden, I like that name that you mentioned. I think I don't have, like, he goes to the right team. It's almost like Lag McConkley. And I'm not saying it's a comp to those two, but I think he can have an impact on the right team. Somebody's going to use him early, and they're going to get him the ball consistently enough because he's a difference maker. Isaiah Bond really didn't get to show much of his skill set because Matthew just took over, man. He took over in Texas. So I'm really buying into what people were saying because he goes to right. I said not to repeat myself, but if he goes to the right situation, it's like a Lat McConkey where he's going to get featured a lot, in my personal opinion. And then lastly with Luther, man, Brady Cook took this man's stock and tanked it. Brady Cook, he could have been the sure guy, right? He looked like he was going to be coming into the collegiate season, and it just wasn't there. Brady is less, I think it's less indictment of him, the player, and more so the quarterback play. Brady Cook took 20 steps back after having a great season, a better season the year before. I'm not going to say great, a better season. Luther, I think he reminds me of the Jaden Reed of the Packers. With his skill set, he's very physical, very aggressive. He can do it all, punt return, kick return. I think, again, with all these three receivers set, he has the skill set to be anywhere, and I think they're going to employ him wherever he goes, like a Jaden Reed, in my opinion. So I like those three receivers. I like Matthew and Burden the most. I think Burden, I think with wide receiver, is because the defense has taken up a lot of the draft in my first place, a lot of equity there. With wide receiver, it's going to be really hard to gauge them because it might be four of them, but then, like I said, based on location, how you can evaluate them, you might see them more than a first-round pick. So other than Travis, you can't go by the quad, like the pick. You got to go with the location and what you think of the player afterwards, in my opinion.
And I was actually going to ask that because I just assumed that Travis Hunter is the number one wide receiver on all three of our boards, and there wasn't much of a reason to evaluate where we think he may go outside of being the number one receiver chosen. So that's the reason why the first three receivers up were T-Mac, Luther, and Matthew. Vander, correct me if I'm wrong. If I'm not, then you can just go ahead and speak on those three guys.
Yeah. I'm kind of like Joe, man. This is one of those years where it's all about where you fall at. Again, I think neighbors, it didn't matter. Harrison, it didn't matter. Brian Thomas, like, it didn't really matter where they fall. It's going to be good wherever. This year is all about who get you. You know what I'm saying? What do you end up being in this league for 3 years, or you end up playing a 10-year career, 12-year career?
And is that like a scheme, current quarterback, whether or not you're going to be the number one option? Like, what are the reasons that are going to factor in?
Right, because this list is not as a can't-miss product in this. There's no can't-miss products in this. Last year was, you know, you could just turn your head and pick one. You know he's going to be that guy. This year, not so much. I'm kind of not as big on T-Mac like everybody else. I would have Travis my number one wide receiver if I knew for sure he's going to be a full-time wide receiver. But being that he may be a full-time corner and part-time wide receiver, I don't want to put him number one. But for me, Matthew Golden would be my number one if I had to pick a guy. I like him better than I like T-Mac. The little comments that just came out recently as far as him not liking to watch film and things like that, that's probably hurt him a good bit. Even though it was an old clip, of course, it'll come out now and probably tank you a little bit.
Nothing old as far as social media is concerned. Right. Whenever you see it is when it came out. So
again, my advice to guys out there in your dynasty leagues, and if you do need a wide receiver, you don't have to jump out the window in your first round and grab one. I think if you're heavy at one position, you need a wide receiver, but you're heavy at running back, and we'll speak about running backs another day maybe, you might want to grab some of these other guys and then, you know, trade and maybe try to get you a veteran presence or something like that, because none of these guys, I think some of the better guys that you're going to see do well out of this draft class are going to be your second and third round picks in Dynasty League. Your first round picks, I don't think they're going to really pay dividends this year. I'm sorry. Unless not at a guy like Abuka, who I'm pretty sure we talk about in a minute.
Yeah.
All about the landing.
Coming up next.
I think he can be a killer in the right landing spot. So it's all about landing spots. And I'm pretty sure we'll talk about this after the draft. But as of right now, it's not really can't miss first round dynasty guys to pick in this draft this year like it was last year. So for me, I'm happy being in the back, grabbing the guys that people don't know too much about and getting over. Because if you ask somebody last year, the number one wide receiver, people probably would say Luther Burden coming into this college season, right?
Yeah.
Everybody thought he's going to be the guy. And then he kind of, like Joe say, kind of tailed off a little bit and it's kind of hurt his stock. But for me, I like Matthew Golden as my number one.
So you brought up Emeka Ibuka, and he's next up heading our three wide receivers that are coming up next. You have Ibuka, Jaden Higgins out of Iowa State. Obviously, Ibuka is Ohio State. Then you have Jack Beach out TCU. How are we feeling about these guys? For my money, honestly, I would have Ibuka ahead of, honestly, he don't hear what I'm not saying, okay? He doesn't have the highest ceiling, but for fantasy purposes, I can see him being a guy, Julian Edelman on steroids. That's if he goes to the right system, that's what you can get out of Ibuka. And here's the beautiful thing about that. He doesn't have to put up – I can't tell you how many weeks, if you're a Patriots fan and you saw Edelman out there, how many weeks he went without getting a single touchdown but never once let you down in fantasy. I think that's what we're looking at with Ibuka, because he's going to have – as long as he hits a spot where they're going to give volume to the slot wide receiver, he has the skill set, the ability to make the hard catches – and also the run after the catch to put up Edelman / Welker type numbers out of that slot receiver position. And based on where you could pick him up, you might be able to do something like trade out of the, let's say for instance, if you're straight at quarterback, right? You're straight at running back and you just want to fill your wide receiver position, make sure you're solidified there. But you also have a high pick. You can give up the number two, number three, number four pick, get multiple picks, and get two or three of the wide receivers we're about to talk about, and come out ahead of the guy that went with the Burden, the McMillan or the Golden type situation. So I would rather have the guy that is as close to a can't miss as long as he's not played out of position versus the guy that can kind of take you over the top if you happen to get it 100% correct. But that's kind of where I am at on Ibuka. But again, Ibuka, Higgins, Beach, what are we thinking?
I think if you like Rasheed Rice, you should like Ibuka. I kind of got him in that ballpark as far as what he can give you fantasy-wise. We've seen what Rasheed Rice can be once, you know, on a team. I think Ibuka can be that same style and give you that same production in the right situation. So I got him really number two in this whole class. And, you know, I ain't no big. You know, I get Ibuka a hard time because he always plays second fiddle. Like, he let a freshman take him off, and then before that, another. Like, he always plays second fiddle, but he's still a good vehicle. Right. So, yeah, of course, you're going to go with the Ferrari. It's the nicer, faster, you know, bigger car. But Buka is just like a nice BMW. You know what I'm saying? So it drives smooth. You know what I'm saying? It's German. It's a nice car. And of course, the flashier cars get the notoriety, the Harrisons, the young boy they got there now. Smith, right?
Jeremiah Smith. Yeah.
So, of course, those guys get the attention because they're flashier cars and nicer cars. But we going on a nice road trip. You don't take your Ferrari on a road trip, right? You're not going to drive the Ferrari from New York to Miami with the family. You're not going to do that. I think Ibuka is the nice, smooth BMW that you won't mind getting on the road and driving with. So I got him, you know, as far as that. But he's a number two receiver for me in this whole ordeal. As far as Beck.
Hold on 1 second. PSA.
Mm-hmm.
If you can get a top 2027 pick now, while it doesn't mean nothing to anybody, go ahead and get that now. It's Jeremiah Smith. Mm-hmm. That dude, I'm telling you right, he may be the best wide receiver prospect to come out of, not saying he's going to be the best NFL prospect.
Don't forget about my boy in Bama now. No, that's what I'm saying. So to kind of piggyback what you're saying, that 27 draft is going to be insane. And now think about this. You know how we do in the Dynasty League. If you can figure out how to get one and two in 27, Jesus. You know what I'm saying? You are sick.
And nobody's thinking about 2027 picks.
Yeah,
you can give up backup right now for 2027 picks.
Let me start issuing out some.
Don't take the 2027 picks I was about to try to get.
Yeah, I'm about to start sending them out now. I'm going to trade some guys. Because I'm telling you, those two wide receivers are going to solidify your future in a lot of dynasty leagues for sure.
Agreed.
But you said my guy, man. This is one of my sleepers. He's not going very high in most dynasty leagues. But the Higgins?
Higgins is a dog. Higgins is a junkyard dog.
I think he's somebody that people are not really paying attention to because of the other guys, you know, the names and where he played at, right? Played at Iowa State.
Iowa State, 6'4", 215. You know who he reminds me of? He's a bigger Steve Smith.
That's saying a lot.
That's saying a whole lot. Yeah.
A big Steve Smith. That's saying
he's a 6'4" Steve Smith.
Yeah, but I've been seeing him going late, like third round in some dynasty leagues, right? And even not drafted at all, like being the first available.
That's what I'm saying. You can get rid of that. I hope this works out because it's at the very top of the first.
Yeah, yeah.
And get like three of these dudes, and I promise it's going to work out fine.
Yeah. And as far as Jack Beck, let's see where he plays, right? He's a glorified tight end. Is he going to play tight end on the next level? Or is he going to play wide receiver? Pretty consistent.
Depends on the team he go to.
And let me let you on something. A lot of people don't know. He was at LSU too, right? He was at LSU when all them boys was there. He was one of the leading receivers at the time when they had all the guys. So don't let that go over your head as well. Like when he was in the room, when they had the, you know what I'm saying? So the Boutes and all them guys was there. He was there too. So sneaky player. I just want to see where he plays though. Is he going to be a tight end, wide receiver? And his landing spot is definitely a factor.
Another PSA right quick. The name you just brought up, Boutte, you can go get him for free. You can go get him for a 2027 third if he's not on the waiver wire right now as a free pickup. And I'm telling you, trouble is what kept him from producing. But he started showing a little bit of what he had last year. And I do believe, based on the fact that Diggs is now the number one receiver and there really isn't a number two, he's going to be the number two. And then you're going to have Pop Douglas as your slot receiver. I mean, he's going to be in a situation where he can't really fail. He hasn't failed in much worse situations. But let's continue. Bro Joe, Ibuka, Higgins, Beck, what you got?
I love Ibuka. I think people got to kind of take into account last year. I do agree. He seems, like I use this word with quotation, he seems to be the Batman to the Robin. I personally think if he was in another program where they didn't have the best wide receiver coach in the world, the top five, rated, wide receivers every year coming out, because Carno Tate is a dog. We know what Smith is. He's a dog. He can hold his own in any other program as the number one guy. Yeah, but the main thing is he had the ankle injury the year before. He had the ankle to where he had to even get the tightrope surgery on it. So even, he didn't look as good as some people would think. This dude is a tremendous talent. I love the Rashid Rice comp. I think he falls in line between that. And even his other, compadre, JSN, he's just one of those guys who's going to give it to you. And like you said, he's going to break away. He'll give it to you physical. But he's such a nuanced route runner. I just like watching him run routes. I think he's at the next level, how you have him propel as a number two receiver. I agree with that sentiment. If we knew where Travis stood, like you said, I probably didn't go as far as to reach out and put him as one just because he gives you a polish. He gives you a good floor. You already know what you're going to get out of him off the bat. It's like how McConkey was, but again, not in the sense of cons, but we knew McConkey was going to go somewhere. We knew his floor. He's at least a wide receiver three or something like that. That's how I feel about Egg off the bat. And then I love, I don't know as much in regards to his game because he got a teammate of his we're probably going to talk about in just a little bit. But as Greg said, this is where the destination part comes into play because I don't expect as many wide receivers to go in the first round as we did before. And the first round in the real draft doesn't mean as much, but you like knowing that these players are necessities earlier on by going number one when we know that they have to make an impact within the first two rounds. And I think that's why, I don't see as many going in the first, but these names that we discussed in is reaching out. And then the third one from TCU, that wide receiver, I heard great things about him. That's one of, and I actually somebody pointed out, and I heard he's a really good sneaky wide receiver. I'll probably see him fall into the fifth or sixth round. Not to say that matters, because look what happened with Romeo Dobbs. I say he's a good player, but we've seen his spurts him do something in the NFL, right? And I think that's where kind of the TCU kid falls as far as productivity. But I agree with y'all, Higgins probably being a second round pick, an early probably second round pick, honestly, in the first half of the second round. Just because how we just talked about T-Mac, we don't have to have those same questions about physicality when it comes to that young man. And he has speed too. We don't have to talk about it, but he has that vertical speed as well too to really excel at the next level too.
Next round of wide receivers, we're going to go five deep for the last two rounds. Jalen Royals, Utah State. Isaiah Bond, Texas. Trey Harris, Mississippi. Tay Fulton, Maryland. Vander, what are your thoughts on anyone that may be a sleeper? If you don't feel any of them may be worth drafting, how are we looking at this next set of five receivers? I think you're muted.
Oh, this my boy is in here, man. My sleeper of the whole thing. I'd be calling these guys out, man. But Jalen Royals, man. If you don't know, now you know. Biggie Smalls, you know what I'm saying? Like, tough, Debo-ish, rack daddy, like Joe liked to say, right? He one of them tough kids, man. Could not be senior bowl, get out of here. Not even 100% back yet because he's working back from surgery, I believe. Can't do nothing with him. He one of those dudes, if I'm telling you, he's going to make somebody, he's going to keep somebody a job as a GM. So even though he's ranked so low, I have him top five in this whole setup. So that's how I got him. Of course, he's like, oh, he went to Utah State. That's cool. I think they played against Boise State. I want to say gave him like 200. But he that deal. I just can't say much enough about him, man. He's like a Debo. He got some Debo in him. Yeah. What I mean by that, you know, you got those wide receivers that play like running backs. You know what I'm saying? And he's kind of one of those guys where if he get that ball in his hand, he could do damage. So for me, Jalen Royce is my guy. I like Trey Harris. He was a highly touted wide receiver coming out. I have him in my top 10 as well. I think landing spot, it's all about the landing spot with him. Luther Burden, it was supposed to be nice, but I don't know. You know what I'm saying? Nice car, but it don't have power windows. You know what I'm saying? So you can't really see the inside of it. It looked nice on the outside, but I gotta wind it up with my hand to put the window up. You know what I'm saying? So he's a Mercedes, but you have to do this, right? And I think he can very well get lost in the sauce. Again, a lot of stories coming out saying he's a diva, okay. Things like that. So he got a lot of other things that he's dealing with. Guys like that, I kind of wanted to stay away from. I really miss my blessing, miss out on that, and not draft him and then draft some of these other guys. Because again, a guy like Burden in your dynasty league is going to be a first round pick. But I'd rather have Jalen Royce on my team than him. So that's what I'm saying. You're going to get a lot more. I'd rather have Jaden Higgins on my team than him. So you're going to get a lot more value in this draft on the back end than in the front end. So,
bro, Joe, how you feel?
This is where, like, I feel like it's getting to, like, I feel like the list of having, like, Alvin says he has a 10. I feel like that's how you got to kind of approach this wide receiver group. So now we get to, like, the back end where it's, like, I don't see an immediate impact to what we all can agree with this list, but this opportunity. Just going, like, check it. I like how Vader kind of covered it. Trey Harris, you want to see where he goes, but not just that. He's in that, he reminds me of Dobbs. Like, he seems to do everything the right way. He seems to get open. He seems to have that physicality. But it's the consistency factor. Of course, he's able to put together some roundabout seasons, but I would have liked to see him excel a lot more given the praise and the things coming into the season as well. So just, I think he might do well, but fantasy relevancy, it all gets like this is where the location part and how early people go in the draft. Isaiah Bond was in this list, and I wanted to talk to him. I'm off of Isaiah Bond. He was one of those people that I feel like he would have saved so much money just staying in college one more year. Obviously, he went to Bama. He did good there, but he wasn't in the ball. I respect that. He went to Texas. And guess what? Matthew Golden took over that offense. And then the tight end as well, too. I forgot his name. I think Hope or Help. He did tremendous then. They had a running game with Jaden, with Blue and the other running back. He just was not a focus. Let me skip on it. He was not a focus. And I think he stood to wait. But when Archie played, Archie got the man the ball because his upside where he was really, you know, he's one of those one trick ponies. You can give him, just throw up the ball, he can get it. He's really fast on the fast, what I thought was a fast receiver. He killed himself with that by saying he's going to run one of the fastest 40s and then ran a 4.4 or 4.3. Either way, we thought he's going to run a 4.2 something and then he underwhelmed with that one. So I just think he had better upside being a prospect who stayed in college and kind of matured a little bit. He could have been even a higher receiver if he just waited. But those are the two that kind of stood out in that group.
And we'll go next round. Let's just go honorable mention. Just throw out a few names. You have Alec Ayaminor out of Stanford. You have Jalen Noel out of Iowa State. Cal Williams out of Washington State. Torrey Houghton out of Colorado State. Kobe Hudson, Tez Johnson, Savion Williams, Isaac Teasley out of Arkansas, Jalen Lane out of Tech, Xavier Restrepo out of Miami. Anybody piquing your fancy, anyone that you're kind of keeping your ear to the ground as far as landing spots, how are we looking at the honorable mention / dart throws as far as wide receivers are concerned? And do any of these guys meet the onus of being considered as a guy that people should know that they don't know?
Absolutely.
go ahead and help us out, Vandy.
Absolutely. Don't just because, you know, the way you presented this, people say, oh, these are dart throws. And no, man, these guys can be fantasy winners. I got a few. I got one. And Jalen Noel, that boy, that boy is like Ladd McConkley, Christian Kirkish. Like, he, I'm telling you, he his landing spot is so key. So again, if you like slot guys, this boy here is a master. I'm talking about, he tough. Them Iowa State boys, man, all together. I got both of them in my top 10, Higgins and Noel. And we way down here and we talking about him. And these guys are up in my list. Like, I really want to see where they land at. And that's going to let me know when we come back and we do a show after the draft, we're going to know exactly where these guys should be at. But if you, if you're looking for a guy, he's probably not going to go drafted in your dynasty league. Go ahead and load up on those 312s and 311s, them picks that people were thinking not. Get those, because those are the ones you can take this, because you don't want a guy to beat you to the free agency and get them, right? So I'd rather get a 312 or a 311 and pick guys like this and make sure they're on my team. But Noel is a guy that I'm definitely excited about. So Higgins, Royals, Noel, those three guys, I'm going to draft them. I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm going to draft them. Where I'm positioned at, I don't mind reaching and all that. I'm going to draft these guys on my team. And lastly, a guy was going to go undrafted, but had the potential to be a first-round pick due to his troubles. We don't know. The kid Lacy, LSU, let's see where he land at. I think he's somebody that you, again, going into this thing, he should be a first-round pick. But he can very well go undrafted due to his off-the-field issues, right? Let's see if he's in trouble. Let's see where he land, because this guy could be, again, another – nobody see it coming. Everybody, I see both of y'all heads nod like, damn, I forgot about Lacy. Lacy is the guy everybody forgetting about. But when we put this list together going into this college season, again, we know how LSU roll out the wide receivers. He was the next one in line. Had a pretty decent season.
Ain't he going to jail?
We don't know. But he did perform. I think he ran a 4.45 or something like that at his little trial thing he had going.
pardon the pun. But go ahead. You know,
so again, if you're in a dynasty league, that's crazy. He's not going to be drafted at all. He's not going to be drafted, but he's a guy I would love to throw my taxi squad and just see what's going on. I'd rather hold him somewhere and then, you know, see where he falls, but let's see what happened with him. So again, Noel, again, you should draft him. And Lacy is the dart throw for me.
Bro, Joe, go ahead and round us out. What you got?
I love the Jalen Noel. I love it. That's a good one. I think start with Torrey Holton, man. I like that kid.
Oh, yeah.
This dude, I think he's going to – talking about upside. I think what's really going to play a part is that you don't even have to wait. You don't have to be draft happy with some of these receivers. You can wait to preseason, get a feel for how much, you know, through weeks. Because only 3 weeks of it, 2 and 3 – and kind of get a gather, or even go from beat writers at that point. But Torrey Holton is one of those who can definitely emerge as like a third option in the offense and contribute right away, I think, to a lot of different teams. So that's my first guy. He was the other one that was in the list was Alec Ainer of the Stanford kid. I think he has tremendous upside. Like it's so much of a fit. He's going to go to obviously a good team, because he's going to go in later rounds. And I think that's another good contributor. Talk about somebody smart. I'm not saying he's Amon-Ra, the prolific player, but coming out of college, I would see them very favorable. Again, not the Pro Bowl perennial guy we know is Amon-Ra, but someone that I was on as far as coming out of college, you know, you remember that as well too, that it's that same feel you kind of get with the Alec. Smart, hard-nosed, runs fast. He catches everything, and he's a smaller guy to be doing it. He definitely stands out as one of those guys. Like I say, because he's going to go later on, he's going to go to a good team. I like that about where he might go. And there was one other guy. I got to think real quick. But if I had to give out one more, I would say Rashibio. I got to say this. This dude ran a 4.8, I think they said. And I was so into this. I was like, man, he's going to be real good. That 4.8 threw me off, so he already off the list. honestly, we can't. This is a solid list, man. Because honestly, Royals sneaking in Royals in there kind of threw me off because Royals, I think, to what Van is saying, I think he has good upside. And that's why I was trying to look for some paper, like a pen paper, but I realized I got my phone right here. So I'm in my phone, right? That I think that's a really good name to look at. And I think the comp to Debo is really accurate. And that's what, you know, Van is good at doing when he mentioned Zay Flowers not too long ago when I chose Josh Downs. And I think that's the Royals give you that same feel. Like, I need to remember this guy and think to take him early because he has that. You might take him out. You might have to reach on him because of the location. If it's a really good location, you're going to have to reach and go around early, I think, mm-hmm. for somebody like the Royals. But the, like I gave you guys, I think that's really a really good pick. I think he's going to be a good contributor. But Horton, I think Horton is a guy. He might go undrafted in real life. So that's where we are with these, you know, with these 10s is like, he can go undrafted, but if he has a good preseason, he might make a team. Similar to a Cedric Tillman for the Browns, where it's like a fringe guy who makes it onto the team that can be a contributor and then look at him for the future. And that's how I feel about with Horton, 6'3", exceptionally runs well, caught over 100 passes. He just gets yet. You know, he does it in a multitude of ways and all over the field. But this wide receiver group is just like a buy and beware kind of thing because we only know pretty much Egg and Hunter at this point. The rest is just it's fit. And not just fit. I think you don't have to buy on all. Like you said, you can take a crop of the ones that go high enough because you know they're going to impact. And some of these other names, just wait. They're going to be free. You can wait all the way to August to kind of, you know, dabble on all of them. Put them in the taxi squad. And, hey, they don't work out. But look at what the Panthers did with Jalen Poplar or whatever his name is. Dude balled out. 5 catches, 80 yards religiously towards the end of the season. He was a big contributor for the Panthers. Those are those type of receivers that being, you know, everybody mentioned today on the show that are still available. And that's why we keep stressing location and also we're in the draft.
And that pretty much wraps it up for this week. We will be back to you next week and we will be talking about the running backs and the tight ends. And then we're only a couple of weeks away from the draft at that point. Immediately after that draft, we will have a Now That We Know type of show and kind of giving you our final synopsis, if you will, of the ceiling and the floor of these players based on where they actually ended up. And so that way we can be a little bit more concrete. We can let you know a little bit more about where you should be drafting them or what type of capital they're going to have to come up with if you're going to attempt to trade for one of them. And sometimes the best time to trade for these guys is before anyone has the opportunity to see what they actually have their hands on. So we're going to be here for you for that as well. Again, thanks so much to our special guest, Bro Joe, the rookie aficionado. And yeah, we'll be back again next week bringing the sauce. And remember, always tell the truth and nothing but the truth. We out.